Hafa Day, and welcome to this edition of Heart of Harvest.
Why do they want to get in the race if you've got that painful, miserable, I hate the Christian life look? Oh, and you are going to try and stop the van and talk them into getting in the race with you. Right.
That was Pastor Marty Herron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church. Heart of Harvest brings you archived sermons from Pastor Herron's nearly 19-year ministry on Guam. Our prayer for this program has always been that these messages from the Word of God would help you develop a heart for God. To download these programs or others, or to learn more about our ministry, we'd invite you to visit the Harvest Baptist Church website at hbcguam.org. That's hbcguam.org. And now, from our Harvest Archive, former Pastor Marty Herron with today's message.
Your Christian life is going to be a challenge if you're going to accomplish anything for God. The writer of Hebrews began stating, and as we talked about explaining faith and expressing faith, and he tried to walk through, and we walked through that passage on the outline, that the explanation of the Christian faith and the expression of the Christian's faith. And then he walked through all these different examples, which we'll be talking about those specific examples. And then he uses an illustration, a very common familiar metaphor and picture called a race. And so he uses that metaphor by saying these fourfold solutions that'll help you in running the Christian life. What are those? And all of those in relationship to your faith. But this is the fourfold solution to running the race. Number one is, he says it this way, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Those in chapter 11, or in other words, he's saying you need to remember the saints. You know what can help you in your Christian life? You remember those that have gone on before you. In other words, the point is, if they can run the race, so can I, very simply. That's the whole point. He also goes on to say, you want to have the solution of not being weary and discouraged? Number two, remove the obstacles. That's, he says it this way, lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. What is he talking about? He's talking about removing the obstacles. The writer says, remember the saints, remove the obstacles, and run with patience. Run with patience, he says, the race that is set before us. Why did he say it that way? He said it because patient means endurance. He's not talking about a sprint. He's talking about a marathon. And there are times when, in the midst of that marathon, there are moments when you want to hit the wall and you want to give up, and the endurance factor is there. You keep going. Be in a place to say, okay, I'm going to do what's right, and I'm going to continue to plod on. I went to Guam's marathon, annual marathon. Nobody was there because there was only about 12 of us at the finish line. Woke up at 3:30 this morning and I thought, there are people getting ready to run 26 point some odd miles. And I went back to sleep. 4 o'clock, started the race. And they ran 26 miles. And every year, up except for 1 year, I missed. I went down, I drove down, took one of the boys. I said, let's just drive down there and then check it out. This was like about 6:45, 6:50 or so. So I drove, nobody on the course. I really thought, man, we missed it. We missed it. It kept driving down, and I started picking up a few people. And we followed, and every so often, they were in packs. It's an interesting observation. I don't know if it meant to be that way, but it's like they're running in packs. Every so often, you see one guy running by himself. There wasn't that large amount of people. I'm guessing 75 people total. It wasn't just the individuals running the whole race, but there are also teams that you could end up splitting the race. I could tell, for the most part, we could tell who was actually running the 26 miles, because they all had the same basic look, different than those who were only running, it was 3 or 4 or 5 miles, they were passing off a baton. Because those who were running the 26 miles all had that same blank stare, that I don't know that I'm going to make it look. And you know what? Interesting note. Most of them fit into the categories, at least the three we just read right here. You could see it in their mind. They had all kinds of things running through their mind. I'm sure some of it was, you know what? I've done it before. One of these men has raced, if I gathered right, and I'm sorry I don't have the details about this, 91 marathons this guy's raced. He came out here, he's running in the marathon, 91 marathons. He's trying to get 100 marathons before he passes off the scene. Now, if that's true, I'm thinking, I don't know how he's run 91 marathons, but regardless, you have people that were running. You had other people that were running very smoothly. All of them had a common characteristic, which is they didn't have a whole lot on. I saw one guy that on the way back, I didn't know whether he was in the race or not. In fact, I said to my son, I said, I don't know, this guy's in the race. He's on the course. He had a water bottle. He had black jeans on, old tennis shoes on, a heavy white t-shirt. And he was sweating. He looked like he weighed about 282 pounds. And for all I know, he could have been in a race. And if he was in a race, obvious questions start arising. Why do you have jeans on? Why do you have a big heavy t-shirt on? Why do you have those old tennis shoes on? Right? Did he have the freedom to wear those? Sure. Why should he though, however? Wouldn't you want to be a lightweight clothing to wear? Sure you would, particularly after running 26 miles. We went down to the finish line and no one was there. There was a few people there waiting, but no one finished. We turned around and came back and we finally picked up the police car that was leading, evidently the main leader, the first guy that was in line. And so we turned around, went back to the finish line and waited for him to come by. Hey, we cheered him on. He came through, picture was taken. And you know what? He was the same as everyone else. Very light clothing. You could see the same look in his eyes as all the others were doing their very best. They were doing things that I wasn't doing. Because you know, when we got done watching that, he came through and the others were way back. I said, let's go. So we congratulated him. Hey, good job. You know one of the first things he said? First words out of his mouth, my feet are killing me. I thought, oh, really? Your feet are killing you? I wonder why they're killing you. I looked down. He had a brand new pair of shoes on, man. A6 shoes. Of course they're killing him. He ran 26 miles. I don't think your body's meant to do that kind of stuff, at least every day. And you know what? Is it any different in our Christian life? No. But many of us get so worried and discouraged because we keep trudging along, and you got to every so often ask yourself the question. You know what? If I'm going to keep going, every so often it's helpful to have people in front of me. I can remember, hey, you know what? They're in front of me. If they do it, I can do it. If they can do it, I can do it. That's what he's saying. There are times in that race you're going to go, you know what? Why am I wearing this heavy winter coat? This is stupid. Take the coat off. Run. There are times in your life you're going to come and say, you know what? Why do I keep doing these things? Why am I involved in this activity? Why am I listening to that? Why am I watching that? Why am I hanging with these people? They're obstacles to you. Let go of it. You say, well, what are those? I don't know. Spirit of God will direct you. And on top of the fact, you have got to run with endurance. This was a 26-mile race, my friend. This 4 o'clock in the morning, you started out. And let me add to this as well in the context of this. And it gave me like quite an interesting little lesson. I get in the car. This guy finished. My little green van, we're driving back. And the same people, some of them are going faster than others, some of them are walking. But you know what? Every one of them was in the race. I wasn't. I saw a number of them that saw me go by a couple of times, kind of look at us. You know, here I am in the van. I'm driving my air-conditioned van, visiting with my child, going the exact opposite direction, just trotting along, had my coffee. You know where I was going? I was going to get donuts, man. I'm going to Winchell's. Yes, we're going to Winchell's. We're getting donuts. Here's these people. Some of them are way back, man. Mile 20. They got 6 more miles to go. They look like they hit by a truck. But you know what? They were in a race. I'll tell you something. My thought came to me. I thought, you know, Aaron, I am in the Christian life. I am in the Christian race like you are, my friend. And ever so often, I see somebody in the proverbial van, the van of the world, going the exact opposite direction I am. Having a great time. You know what? They're not headed to heaven like I am. They're not sweating stuff I am. Why should they? They're not a Christian. And if I have a genuine love, why am I getting torqued at someone else for living a natural life to themselves and their pleasure? And on top of the race, you know what we get to do? We could try and convince others, get in the race. Why do they want to get in the race? If you've got that painful, miserable, I hate the Christian life look. Oh, and you are going to try and stop the van and talk them into getting in the race with you. Right. That's why he says, for consider him which endured such contradiction for the joy that was set before them. Which ultimately, he says, lastly, refocus on the Savior. Looking unto Jesus, he's the author and finisher of our faith. The devil smuggles in a sense of doubt to every one of us. And that's why we don't step off onto the sidelines and run with resolve. We refocus on the Savior. And the point is of this text, verse 2, remain on course. Fix your eyes on Christ. And that should resolve you to say, you know what? I've got a course here and I'm headed that way. And I have a race to run. And there are going to be moments and times in which my own faith is faltering, but the exhortation to live out that Christian life has come off of the expression of it and the explanation of faith. It's a confidence and a courage and a conviction to live in Christ. Question, are you doing that? Are you doing that? You say, I don't know if I'm really, you know, like making it. Because the point is, do we sense the need of faith to run the race? Then we must fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter. He is the creator and completer. His entire earthly life was the very embodiment of trust in God. He perfected living by faith. He lived in total dependence upon the Father. Henry Ward Beecher said, "We are always on the anvil. By trials, God is shaping us for higher things." Look to Jesus. My friend, I don't know where you are in your Christian life tonight, but I'm telling you that if you're having struggles and difficulties and challenges, it's the way God designed it to be, to refine, to purify the faith that he gave to you. It goes beyond logic. It goes beyond your feelings. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why every day you should be driven to say, I need to know the Bible. You should be able to minimally be able to tell your neighbor, your friend, your coworker, you know what, I met Christ, changed my life, changed my life. Sometimes that might be the only witness you have. You might be so worried and discouraged. Maybe it's not out of disobedience, it's just discouragement. Maybe you're not, if I can say it, breaking the rules, although there are no rules in the Christian life. I don't want you to miss my point here. But he's breaking your resolve. Whatever it may be, I'd encourage you to get in a place to say, God, this is the race you've given to me. I'm going to run it. I'm going to run it faithfully. I want to run it because it's the right thing to do. And you promise you will bless me in that. You know, I found in watching that race and another observation very simply, and it was those that were doing the best and seemed to be able to move forward at a regular pace is that they were running in pairs. They were running in pairs. They don't know how much talking they were doing, but they were running in pairs because you draw strength from one another. And the whole context of this is one another, is one another. That's why you're doing the right thing being in church. It helps you, it encourages you. You draw strength from one another because ultimately you're drawing it in Christ. How's your race?
That was Pastor Marty Heron, the former pastor of Harvest Baptist Church on Guam. Heart of Harvest brings you archived messages from Pastor Heron's nearly 19-year ministry at the church. You can download sermons from this archive at hbcguam.org/HOH for Heart of Harvest. All the information you need to send us a comment or question can also be found at hbcguam.org/HOH. Today's teaching from the Word of God was intended to help you develop a heart for God. Join us again next time, and thanks for listening to Heart of Harvest.